Have your Bible with you today. Would you turn with me to the book of John? John chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 53. John 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. May God add his richest blessings to this, the reading of his word. When Jesus is talking here, he is talking to the people that he just fed the day before. If you recall the story of the loaves and the fishes, Jesus fed all of these people. And then that night, he sent his disciples across the lake, and he came walking himself later on across the water. Well, when the people showed up there the next day, and they didn't find Jesus, they went looking for him. And recalling that there was one boat there, they went over to Capernaum and found him there. And Jesus is talking to these people about why they came to search for him. Right after he gets through telling them this, a lot of the people said, "That's too hard. How can he say that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood? That's too hard for us. We can't do this." And so many of the people who had been following Jesus turned back and no longer followed him. And he was left with a handful of disciples. And he asked the disciples, he said, "Will you leave me too?" And they looked at him and said, "Where would we go? Since we know that you are sent from God, who else is there to go to?" You see, a lot of the people who were following Jesus were following him because of the miracles that he did. They wanted to be healed. They wanted the free food. They wanted to see him perform miracles for themselves and for other people. They wanted the benefits of being around Jesus. Look around you today, you'll see empty pews. It's that way in most churches today. You have a handful of people who want to follow Jesus. You have a handful of people who believe that he is their Savior and who believe in him wholeheartedly, no matter what. Then you have a lot of people who come for different reasons. My friend Charlie Burnett from Lime Springs United Methodist Church always says, if you feed them, they will come. Isn't that kind of true? If we had a meal, we'd have more people here, wouldn't we? I had a fellow tell me one day, he said, "I can tell you how to fill up every church around." He said, "If you want to fill a church up, put a big sign out front that says free food and free beer. They'll fill the church up." That doesn't bring people to Jesus, though, does it? You see, what Jesus wanted was those handful of people who were totally devoted to him and to the Father and to what his mission was. And that's what we need in the church, folks. We have a handful, but we need more than a handful. There's a lot of work out there to be done. We need more people than we have. in order to do the kingdom work. But we need people who are committed, like Jesus was looking for, people who will come in here and say, "What can I do?" Not, "What can I get?" And that's the kind of people he was dealing with back in that day. Those people who wanted the miracles, and they wanted the bread, they wanted the free food, they wanted whatever Jesus could provide for them. But the minute Jesus said, "Here's something you have to do," "Why, that's too hard. We can't do that. That's too hard." When Peter and one of the other disciples, the name skips my head right now, it's one of those, I don't have senior moments, I have normal moments. But Peter and one of the other disciples started into the temple one day, and there was a man there begging for alms. And Peter says, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand and walk." Jesus, my friend, just like the song that we just heard, is all that we need. He is all that we need for every need that we have. But there's a price for that. We are to become his body. We were told the story in Emmaus one time, and I may have told you this before, of a statue during World War II. A statue of Jesus. They got hit by an explosion, and the arms and legs were gone. They didn't rebuild the statue. They just put a sign in front of it that said, "Jesus has no hands and feet but yours." So what are you going to do about it? We are his hands and feet. We are to come into church and ought to come into church, ought to come into his presence, saying, "Lord, what can I do for you?" Because you see, everything that we need him to do for us has already been done. He already gave the ultimate sacrifice, folks. He gave his body and his blood for you and I. He died on that cross so that we might have eternal life. And yet, people still come into church and say, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that today. I didn't get anything out of it." It's amazing, isn't it? Why do you come to church? What are you here for? What is it that you want to get? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're here wanting to get something, you are here for the wrong reason. The reason we come to church is not for what we can get out of it. My wife loves the singing and the music. There are other people in here that love to hear the scripture read. There are people that will tell you, and I've asked this before congregations, and I said, "Why do you come to church?" "Well, I just feel like Sunday, that's where you're supposed to be." "Well, it makes my week go better. I feel better the rest of the week if I come to church on Sunday." "Well, I like the singing." "Well, I like to come and fellowship with everybody." But folks, there's only one reason to come to church, and that is to worship God. We are here to worship the one who created us and gave his life on that cross for us. We are here to worship him. And that's the reason to be here this morning. Not any other reason. There is no other reason to be here. If you're not here to worship him, you're here for the wrong reason. And if you're here for the wrong reason, you might as well not be here. Now, I'm not sure that some of the bishops or some of the district superintendents would approve of me saying that, you know. With some people, it's about numbers. Jesus was talking to his disciples there, those 12 people, and he said, one of you is a devil. So those 12 people that he had chosen, and he was telling them, it's not about the numbers. Those 5,000 people that I fed yesterday were there for the free food. They were not there for the kingdom purpose. And what we need in church today are people who are here to worship God. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know how to fill those empty pews? I can tell you how to do it. And it's real, real simple. We come in here and we praise and worship God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we lift up Jesus Christ, and He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And that's what's going to fill these pews. It's not any program or anything that we can put together or do. That's not going to fill the pews. It's when we, God's people, begin to worship Him, then He will honor that worship, and He will draw the people. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me, and no man comes to me except the Father draw him. You see, I can't bring him in. You can't bring him in. What we can do is witness to what He has done in our life so that they want to see what's going on here. What we can do is raise the roof on this place every Sunday with our praise and worship of God so that people outside will say, hey, there's something going on over there at Fitzpatrick. I want to know what it is. And God will draw them here on His own. Now, I preached this same sermon once before in a little church where I was a pastor. And I preached it to three people. Three lovely people that were there every single Sunday, who managed somehow between the three of them to pay my salary and to pay their apportionments in full every year. And they kept coming there every Sunday and worshiping God and lifting up the name of Jesus. And you know, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in a place where the former pastor said there's no hope for growth in this community, in this church, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God started bringing people in. Some of them came from Montgomery. Some of them came from Billingsley. Very few of them came from the immediate area around the church. But they came. Until all of a sudden, there was 25. And then 31 on Sunday in that church. And it wasn't because they had a wonderful pastor. It was simply because they worshiped God there. And Jesus was lifted up. And they were sincere about what they were doing. And they loved God. And He loved them back. You see, we're told that in the Bible that if we will worship Him and do what we're supposed to do, Jesus said He will give us the desires of our heart. Now, some of you are going to say, well, you know, I've had this desire in my heart to have $1 million for a long time, and Publishers Clearing House has never knocked on my door. Well, guess what? They never knocked on mine either. And my poor father filled out one of those forms every time they sent one in the mail, and you know how often they come in the mail. He never got the $1 million either. But you know what? That's not what He's talking about. Because when you start to worship God and you start to lift up Jesus Christ, then the desires in your heart will change. And those desires will be for His kingdom and for His work. And those desires will be what we have on our sign out front. Love your God and love your neighbor. And those will be the desires of your heart. And then He will grant those desires. You'll start seeing your friends and your neighbors and those people who've not been coming to church and those people that you have wondered about whether or not they even know Jesus. You'll start seeing them not only come in those doors, but you'll start seeing them down here at this altar on their knees And you'll start seeing lives changed. And that's what it's all about. It's not about how many people we have in here on Sunday morning. It's about how many lives get changed for Jesus. Just like we were talking about the No More Malaria, it's not how much money we raise. It's how many of those precious children, and yes, they are precious children, because they were created by God just like you and I. It's how many of those precious children's lives are saved from that dread disease that we know can be eradicated from the face of the earth. All it takes is the money to get the medicine to the right places. All it takes for us to change lives, all it takes for us to fill these pews, is for us to come in here on Sunday morning and lift up Jesus Christ. And He will take care of the rest of it. He will draw people to Him. And the more we lift Him up in here on Sunday morning, the more you're going to go out there into the world and you're going to be more like Him. And people are going to see you. And you're going to witness for Him the way that we should. All too often, and you know this as well as I do, all too often, Christians don't act as much like witnesses as they act like judge and jury. We're not called on to be judge or jury. We're called on to be witnesses. Witnesses of what Christ has done in our life. And if we will simply do that, He will be lifted up. And when He's lifted up, He says, I will draw all men to Me. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about how well or how bad I preach. It's not about how well or bad I can read the Word. It's about what the Holy Spirit does in your heart when you come in here on Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit is here to convict us, to teach us the things of Jesus Christ. And the more we learn about Jesus Christ, the more we become like Him. The more we become like Him, the more we witness to Him to those around us. And that's what draws people in. Jesus Christ. Not Pastor Butch. Not this family or that family. Not how pretty the church is. Not how much money they have. Not how many people go there. It's whether or not you worship Jesus Christ. That's our reason for being here this morning. There is no other. I hope that you are here because you wanted to worship. I hope that you wanted to lift up Jesus. I hope that you have a desire in your heart to see people's lives changed for the better. You hear people talk all the time about all the things that are wrong with this country. It's not just this country. It's this whole world, folks. And the same things that are wrong with it today are the same things that were wrong with it when Jesus walked the face of this earth. And those same people that would like to close the doors of every church around today are the same people who sent Jesus to that cross to be crucified. But it's the love of God. It's the worship of God. It's the Holy Spirit and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being lifted up that will draw people here. So, this morning, are you here for what you can get? Or are you here for what you can give? That's something for you to ponder for the next week. Let us pray. Father God, we praise You, O Lord. We thank You for this glorious day. We thank You, Father, for this opportunity to be in Your house and worship You. Because You're worthy. Lord, there is nothing in this world that we can do that will do half the good that we can do by simply worshiping you and lifting up Jesus. Help us to do that. Each and every time that we come through the doors of this building, each and every time that we gather together as the body of Christ, help us to lift up Jesus so that more and more men might be drawn to him. For it's in his lovely name we pray. Amen.